Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Hey, troops, if you like coffee, and who doesn't, you want to try Freedom One Coffee. It's run by an active-duty couple who love our nation and love coffee. Everything, even the packaging, is amazing. Check freedom1coffee.com. Well, here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with John Barry Jr., the head of Barry Law, a firm that focuses on helping vets. Then we'll meet Pamela Alderman and discuss veteran art at Art Prize. And of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show retired Army Lieutenant Colonel John Barry, a former infantryman in combat, now an attorney and the head of Barry Law. Welcome aboard, bro.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Denny. It's an honor to be here.
Well, John, start by giving us a quick review of your time in the Army. I think it's significant that you and I both, as lieutenants, commanded rifle platoons in combat. You understand being a grunt. You understand the Army. I think it's important that we get the whole picture, though. Take us from there.
Sure. So I was commissioned as an infantry officer in 1997. I went to airborne school, ranger school, and my first deployment was to Bosnia in 1999. I was an infantry platoon leader, probably one of the best experiences of my life. That first deployment is always the one that that you have great memories of, just the camaraderie with your NCOs and fellow officers. And then I went to law school. In 2005, I was reactivated and I went over to Iraq as a company commander. And I thought I was going to get out, but after Iraq, I stayed in the Nebraska National Guard. I was the battalion commander for the Officer and Warrant Officer Candidate School after about 20 years, and I retired with 20 years in. Best decision I made was to be an officer in the military and an infantry officer at that. Unfortunately, that wasn't my entire career. Once you move to the reserve component, they'll reclass your branch. It's pretty common, But yeah, what a great experience, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I understand totally. And it certainly is a good setup for whatever you do going on from there. Sure was for me. Okay, now give us a quick overview of the mission of Barry Law. Your dad started it. You're running it now. What's your mission?
Our mission is to get our veterans all of the disability benefits that they have earned.
That's pretty simple. You wouldn't exist and be as big and active as you were if veterans were getting the disability benefits they deserved and earned. They were getting it easily from the military. Am I right?
You're right. And the benefits come from the VA. And unfortunately, if you think about the Veterans Administration was behind after Vietnam. And, when my dad started representing veterans as a fellow Vietnam veteran, he noticed that they weren't being taken care of. And that continued into the 90s. And then when September 11th happened, we weren't prepared. We didn't know that we were going to be in a 20-year war between Iraq and Afghanistan. And so we had great technology, but it created a lot more veterans, a lot more issues with post-traumatic stress disorder. And there were a lot of combat-related injuries that would have killed a soldier or a Marine 10, 20 years before, but because of our technology with our up-armored Humvees, with our SAFI plates, with our ACH helmets, that veterans were living from some brutal attacks, but the problem was that the disabilities that followed, and we were not prepared to provide them the medical care and the benefits to their families after their service to our country.
Yep. And that's the need. That's why you guys exist. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with combat infantryman and attorney John Barry. Okay, our issue for today is this, I don't even know what to call it, this issue that's been with us for decades. I've known about it for I don't know how many decades. And that's the drinking water issue at the Marine Base at Camp Lejeune. Give us a background on that, John.
Sure. So between about 1953 and 1987, nearly a million Marines and their families who were stationed at Camp Lejeune were exposed to harmful chemicals due to water contamination. Now, Camp Lejeune was established in 1942, and in 1982, the Marine Corps discovered specific volatile organic compounds in the drinking water in two of the 8 water treatment plants. And so the problem was they didn't come out and tell everybody right away. This was kept a secret. And those wells were not shut down until 1984. And we've seen this at other bases as well. So it's horrific that something like this happened to our Marines and we hid that information. You know, Denny, I think about when we deployed, and just to clarify, I was an infantry officer on my first deployment, but they reclassed me on my second one as a logistician. So I'm not sure I can claim I was not an infantry officer when I went to Iraq. I was in Bosnia. But what I would say is this, regardless of, you know, of that MOS, when we deployed, our job was to protect America's sons and daughters. And our expectation was that the government was taking care of our families back at home. And that did not happen.
Unfortunately, you're 100% right, brother, because I was watching that and just totally confused by it. And part of it's bureaucracy and government, but part of it was a lack of real commitment on somebody's part at the top. So what happened then?
Well, so we've been fighting for a long time to get veterans service connected for their diseases associated with the Camp Lejeune water. In 2015, the VA announced that Marines and their dependents who were exposed to toxic water could seek medical care for 15 different conditions, but there was no recovery. And then in 2017, there were 8 conditions that were designated as presumptive conditions for the Marines who'd been stationed at Camp Lejeune for at least 30 days. And so it's just like Vietnam, where we have presumptive service connection for the Agent Orange related disabilities. The VA says, well, if you served in Vietnam from this time to this time, it's presumed that you were exposed to Agent Orange. Well, they did the same thing with Camp Lejeune. They said between 1953 and 1987, it's presumed that you have one of these. And then they changed it to 8 conditions. And if you didn't have those 8 conditions, it was very hard to get service connected through the VA for those disabilities. Earlier this week, I met with Ed Bell, the hero and patriot who drafted this bill. He's out of South Carolina. And we were talking about how many diseases and disabilities there might be. And there's more than 40. And there's going to be, it's a fight to protect everyone. But some of the more serious and common cancers that are coming from this, such as prostate cancer, is not being recognized yet. So there are things that are, and hopefully by the time that this, that people hear this come out, that by God, that will be one of the conditions. But it is unfortunate that we continue to have to fight for veterans to get the disability benefits they've earned. It's one thing to be injured. We expect to be injured in combat. We expect that's part of the training. But what we don't expect is for our families to be poisoned when they're back at home. And we don't expect our government to fail to be accountable to our veterans and our families. I mean, as you know, Denny, combat is serious business. It's tough, and you expect losses. But, the thing that keeps us going is that we have somebody back at home depending on us. And we have our brothers and sisters to our left and our right depending on us. And I know you've experienced that, but it is disappointing when we have failed the brave men and women who have defended our country.
I agree totally with you, John. Combat is dangerous. Training for combat is dangerous. And if you get hurt doing that, we know, and we know how to treat it, and we're ready to handle it. But when this other stuff comes along and they list 2 or 3 things, and medically, they don't know what they're going to come up with next. That's nonsense. And our government has not been taking care of us the way they're supposed to. Well, there's more to discuss about the victims at Camp Lejeune and the things that will follow. And John's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. John and I will be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act, so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. we bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
If you are suffering from anxiety, joint muscle aches, or trouble sleeping, try Day 3 Creation, a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products created from natural, organic, laboratory-tested ingredients. Day 3 comes from a servant's heart as God calls us to care for each other with compassion and honesty. 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing disabled vets with service dogs. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with infantry combat veteran and attorney John Barry about the situation at Camp Lejeune. I've never been able to figure out the words, and you seem to have the same trouble. How in the world could our government ignore is the wrong cover, cover up something like this and not make it wide open and obvious? Because obviously, if Camp Lejeune had this problem, other communities could too. Why would anything like this be hidden from the public and from the victims? This makes no sense, but that's why we've got to get active. Am I right?
That's right. And I think it comes down to accountability. As service members, we understand what it means to be accountable and to hold others accountable. Unfortunately, that doesn't always, well, those stringent core values do not always exist in our government. We'd like to believe that they do and that everybody is going to live with extreme accountability and understand their responsibility and their duty to step forward when they make a mistake. I mean, as leaders, when we make mistakes, we have to own those mistakes. So that's what this act is. The Camp Lejeune Justice Act is here to correct that. And so, you know, what's going to happen is dependents and their and veterans are going to have 2 years from the passage of the law to submit claims. They're going to have to, there's going to have to be significant, or I should say sufficient scientific evidence of causation, that it was at least as likely as not that the disease was caused by the Camp Lejeune water. And so my hope is that a lot of veterans come forward, because also within the bill, it provides for studies on some of these diseases and looking into the long-term effects and what other diseases might be out there. So it's very important that veterans participate for two reasons. Number one, to hold their government accountable. But number two, to make sure that they're taking care of their families and their brothers and sisters who are affected. There are a lot of birth defects, stillborn children, families who suffered. And this, finally, the government is going to make this right by giving them an opportunity to get care and compensation for these horrible diseases caused by this poisoned water.
And it's not like anybody intentionally poisoned it, but clearly they discovered that it was contaminated and they didn't put the word out. Indeed, did they do anything for the first few years, even reduce the amount of poison in the water that was given to people to drink?
Well, it appears that, you know, back in the 70s, there was some concern about it. In the 80s, they knew about it. And then they didn't shut down the wells till 1984. And so I don't know why that is. Obviously, I'm sure there will be more investigation into that. But, you know, leaders make decisions every day. And we know that as leaders, our decisions affect not just our immediate team, but everyone. And as leaders, when we make bad decisions, we have to own that. And we have to make it right.
You know, and leaders that do that are respected. Everybody makes mistakes. Really good people make mistakes. And if you own your mistake, people respect you because they know that if there's another one, you'll own it too. And they don't have to worry about trusting you. But somehow, there are people that just can't do that, I guess. And we got some of them in government. And we got to do something about that too, don't we?
Yeah. And it's, you know, we have to get out and vote. We have to elect leaders. We have to vet those leaders. And we have to understand who those leaders really are. You know, at the end of the day, this was the perfect storm, because under the, we call it the Ferris, some people call it the Ferez doctrine, you know, service members alleging injury or disease that arises incident to service were not able to sue the government. That was part of the problem here. And then, of course, the other problem is how do we take care of their families? But the law, you know, like I said, this doctrine that's preventing military service members from holding their government accountable is a double-edged sword. On one hand, as you know, Denny, when we raise that oath to support and defend the Constitution, we're there to fight. And we don't question our leaders. When the government sends us out there, we don't have the luxury of protesting or saying, well, I didn't vote for that guy. No, when you raise your hand, you go to fight where your government sends you to fight. And you do it for your country, and you do it for your brothers and sisters, and you do it for the Constitution.
Yes, sir. And that oath to support and defend the Constitution doesn't end when you take off the uniform either. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with John Barry from Barry Law. John, we've covered a lot. There is a bill right now that has been introduced to Congress that I believe has passed both houses and is pending approval. And hopefully within the next week or two or three, we'll see this happen. And this bill is the one that's causing this accountability you're talking about, correct?
That's right. The Camp Lejeune Justice Act.
Okay. One of the things that we can do is just wait and see. I want to believe that our government will do the right thing here. So we certainly can stay tuned to see if that happens. Okay, John, let's try to wrap this up. Sum up some of the key points that we really want our listeners to take away from today's conversation.
You know, when we serve, we understand that combat is going to be a possibility and that combat is going to be dangerous. But we also expect our government to take care of us. And once we hang up that uniform, you know, we get that DD-214, that doesn't mean we stop holding people accountable. And that's what this is really about. It's about holding the government accountable and doing the right thing and the veteran community standing up together to saying this is wrong and we're going to fix it. And the great thing about it is the more veterans that get involved, I think the better it's going to be for the veteran community to show you, yes, we think there's a million veterans and their families that were affected. And we want them to come forward and say, not as I'm a victim, but I am here to hold my government accountable because I believe in what I did. I believe in my service and I believe in a greater nation. And that's why we did what we did for the United States Constitution and for the American people. So the next step is to file that claim to move forward. Now, there are veterans that have disabilities that can pursue those disabilities through the VA. But the other option is this Camp Lejeune lawsuit. And this is, like I said, you're going to see I'm sure there's a lot of information out there. At vetinjury.com, we have our information about how someone can get a hold of us. We provide updates on what's going on with the litigation. But the point is this, I became a lawyer because I wanted to support and defend the Constitution one client at a time. You know, we as soldiers, Denny, you and I supported the Constitution overseas, but I get to do it on our home turf now. And the only way I get to do it now, because I'm old, is that I get to do it in the courtroom. And this is important that we get into the courtrooms and that we hold our government accountable. So the more veterans, Marines that were affected by the Camp Lejeune water that come forward, the better, because it makes a statement that our veteran community will hold our government accountable. When we live in an age where accountability seems to have disappeared from the public eye, we are about accountability. And on this great Independence Day, if it wasn't for our accountability, we wouldn't be here. Look, the Constitution protects everyone. Equal protection under the law protects our veterans. And the law is what protects those Camp Lejeune families and veterans today. And so on this Independence Day, I'm grateful that the lawyers have stood up and worked with the government to create the Camp Lejeune Justice Act to bring that accountability back to America, to bring our veterans back into the spotlight, and to say not only thank you, but we're sorry that we were not accountable to you, but we will make it, we, the American people, will make it right to you, our heroes, our Marines.
Amen. Well said. John, before I let you go, one last quick time, how can people get in touch with you and Barry Law if they have a personal need or know someone who has a need?
Absolutely. If it's a veteran who's been denied VA disability claim or a Marine who wants to pursue the Camp Lejeune lawsuit, they can reach us at vetinjury.com or they can call us at 888-883-2483.
And if you can't remember that, Denny at frontlinesoffreedom.com. John and I are friends. We're in touch. John, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. And now I'm glad we're friends and we can work together. We've got to get our country back on the right path. And this is a good first start.
Amen. We need to finally provide our veterans with the disability benefits that they've earned, but also to take care of their families. And that's what I really like about the Camp Lejeune Justice Act. It's about the families too. And as you know, Denny, when we deploy, and I've heard your personal story that you were married. When we deploy, the family deploys with us. They feel it. And it's important that we take care of them at home so that we can all feel like our roles are important and that we are taken care of. I mean, at the end of the day, I believe it was George Patton who said, here's what my soldiers need. They need clean socks and they need a hot meal every day and they need endless ammunition. You give me that, I can win the war.
Yes, sir. And we need a government that stands behind us all the way, as you just said. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Denny. It's been an honor.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Pamela Alderman and discuss veteran art at Art Prize. It will open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com, 10% off promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
The VA frequently denies veterans disability benefits for PTSD. Barry Law has been helping fellow veterans with PTSD fight for compensation for over 20 years. At Barry Law, we've spent decades building a team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees to provide veterans with maximum firepower when appealing VA decisions. To appeal your decision, visit PTSDlawyers.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. It's a pleasure to welcome Pamela Alderman. Pamela is an artist. She's really good. Welcome to the show, Pamela.
Thank you, Denny. And it's just exciting to be here.
Have you been an artist all your life? Did you sort of grow up with that? How did that happen?
Yes, my parents recognized my creative talent when I was a little girl and I started art lessons. I was like a 10-year-old taking art lessons with adults. So it was really enjoyable.
So that's sort of been a part of your life, your whole life then.
Yes. And so from the art lessons in my childhood, I started, of course, enjoying art lessons at school. And my parents eventually gave me art lessons after school. And then I ended up graduating with an art degree from college. And currently, years later, I'm in an MFA program where I'm just getting my master's of fine arts.
Okay. And Michael's with us. Why don't you introduce Michael?
Yes, Michael Hyacinth. He's a veteran and entrepreneur, and his nonprofit is called Has Heart. And it started with trying to help veterans heal. And they connected art with veterans and helped veterans to tell their story. And it has grown. And now they're going to start this veteran operated coffee shop here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So we're pretty excited about this next venture.
That's cool. Michael, tell us about your time. When and why did you join the military? What'd you do?
Thank you so much, Dennis and Pamela. It's good to be with you. Yes, absolutely. I grew up in New York City from the Bronx, and I wanted to serve. And so out of high school, I joined the Navy and became a Navy CB and then was deployed around the world, received my Navy CB combat warfare pin for my deployments and some of the things that we did. But yeah, after the service, I moved out to Grand Rapids, really passionate about, you know, entrepreneurial initiatives. And so my partner, Tyler Way, who was a local artist, he and I connected close to 11 years ago to work with veterans and pair the veterans with designers so that they can get their artwork showcased during ArcPrize. And now I'm happy to say, as Pamela mentioned, we're getting ready to open up a coffee shop at the Veterans Memorial Park in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it's an honor to continue to serve our veterans. It's an honor to work with Pamela and her skills and really come together to continue serving and giving back to veterans.
That's awesome. I mean, wow. Pamela, talk about ArcPrize. That's unique to Grand Rapids. Let the listeners know what ArcPrize is.
Yes. So ArcPrize began about 12 years ago, and it's this gigantic art show in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it involves artists from across the world, usually around 1,400 artists per year. ArcPrize lasts about 2.5 weeks, and the entire downtown area of Grand Rapids is just turned into an art gallery, where in bank lobbies and hotel lobbies, parks, bridges, anywhere people can be creative and put their art, that's where they set up their work. And then we invite the public to come see it. And in non-COVID years, up to 500,000 visitors would come to Grand Rapids. So it's a very large art opportunity. And it's great for artists to share their work. It's great for the public to enjoy art and learn about artists and their work. And so that's actually how Michael and I got connected, is through ArcPrize, because I was a well-known artist because I had entered ArcPrize every single year. And Michael heard about my work, actually through a neighbor introduced us. And that's how we got connected and started our venture with our art work that we continue to work on now.
That is awesome. Michael, take a minute and talk about helping veterans. How does this work? What happens?
Absolutely. And I just, you know, as a veteran, you know, you see veterans who come back home with so many difficult experiences, but these experiences are things that we believe should be shared and, if anything, should be expressed. And so we've collaborated with so many great organizations, one in particular, the Kent County Veteran Services. And, you know, they're a big contributor in this initiative called Voices, where rather than pairing veterans with designers, Pamela is actually mentoring veterans to pursue their own creative, you know, expressions. And so both of these mediums that we've created are now being featured through this initiative called Voices, which we're on our second year. And it's just an awesome opportunity to allow veterans and inspire them to be a part of this creative world. Many individuals who are creative recognize that, you know, the freedom that it provides, the healing opportunity that it provides to see something that's in your mind to become something physical and tangible that people are reacting to. And we think that, you know, this type of therapy, while we're not therapists, you know, can truly be an opportunity for veterans to reconnect with themselves, their family, and eventually their communities. And the VA is doing a great job seeing art as a means to allow veterans to give back. And I think Pamela does a great job in her mentorship with our veterans. She can speak to some of the stories and seeing how some veterans are actually beginning to heal. And so during ArcPrize, we'll be showcasing 22 veterans in downtown Grand Rapids. And Pamela's been the lead mentor in working with these veterans. And I'm honored to work with her, Kent County Veteran Services, the Grand Rapids Park Department, and all of our partners that have worked with us to make this opportunity happen.
Wow. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Pamela Alderman and Michael about veteran art. Pamela, we've just got a couple of minutes left. What key things do you want our listeners to take away from our conversation today as we look forward to ArcPrize? When is it? Bring that up for sure.
Okay, right. So ArcPrize is in September. It starts on September 15 and it ends October 2nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But we want people to know that it's our model that Michael and I are working on and creating a partnership, like he said, with Kent County Veteran Services. This could be repeated across the country, where we've engaged with a local venue, a local opportunity, and we've invited veterans to join us. I've coached them if they're artists or if they're not an artist at all, whatever level they're at, I help coach them through their piece that they could create their own piece to tell their own story, to show it at ArcPrize, to engage with the audience. And then it's amazing. What happens is they might feel reluctant at first because it takes a lot of courage to tell your story. They feel vulnerable. But when they see the warm response from the public, they're always just amazed and so encouraged. The art brings hope. So we like the idea that although we're, like Michael said, we're not licensed therapists, but we can do creative care. Everyone can show care and empathy and kindness through art. And then we just like to give the veterans hope, like their stories matter. People care about their stories and people would like to learn about their lives. And so some of the veterans, one was homeless and he was struggling with alcohol and drugs every single day. But he was so proud to show his work during our prize. He showed up every day for 19 days. He wasn't drunk. He wasn't high. He showed up. He stood there in the rain and he was ready to meet the public. And we were really excited that that was a big success for that particular veteran. So we feel encouraged and we feel hope too when we see lives changed or people that just feel inspired through what we're doing.
That's awesome. How can listeners get in touch with you to learn a bit more?
Yeah, it's a great question, Dennis. Thank you, Pamela, for, you know, for just telling us the journey and some of the healing that we're seeing through this initiative. They can visit our website. It's www.hasheart.us. In addition to Pamela's website, and I'll let her mention that because she does great work also. But separate from that, we'd love to invite the public to come to our opening September 17th. Down at the Grand Rapids Veterans Memorial Park. We'll have a military plane flyover. We'll have some key guest speakers. We'll have some kid crafts. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be the kickoff of another exciting art prize. And we're grateful for our veterans. And we believe that without the sacrifices of our veterans, there is no art prize because many of these individuals raise their hand to go and defend our freedoms. And art is a freedom. And so we're inviting the community to come out.
Thank you. Pamela, we're out of time. What's your website?
So watercolorbypamela.com. Watercolorbypamela.com.
Thank you both for taking time to do this. This is awesome. We're going to have to talk again after the event's over. It's awesome. Troops, if you're a veteran having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at ptsdlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You're reporting for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups now. How about 60 this time? Once your range are ready, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Front Lines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Hey, Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, an Army mom named Susan was very pleased to hear that Concerned Veterans for America works with non-vets, too. She really wanted to get politically active, but wasn't sure how to do it.
Yes, you made a good move, Susan. CVA is a great place to go if you want to get active in the right way.
And Pete is a Marine vet who really liked the Battle of the Month. He's glad you'll be doing it every single month of the year.
Pete, you and I think the same way. It'll be on the next to last week of each month. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's the first one?
Well, on July 8, 1776, a 2,000-pound copper and tin bell, now known as the Liberty Bell, rang out from the tower of the Pennsylvania State House, now Independence Hall, in Philadelphia, summoning citizens to the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence. 4 days earlier, the historic document had been adopted by delegates to the Continental Congress, but the bell did not ring to announce the issuing of the document, until the Declaration of Independence returned from the printer on July 8.
And on July 4, 1863, during the Civil War, the Confederacy was torn in two when Confederate General Pemberton surrendered to Union General Ulysses Grant at Vicksburg, Mississippi. The Vicksburg campaign was one of the Union's most successful of the war. Although Grant's first attempt to take the city failed in the winter of 1862-63, he renewed his efforts in the spring. Union Admiral David Porter had run his flotilla past the Vicksburg defenses in early May as Grant marched his army down the west bank of the river opposite Vicksburg, crossed back to Mississippi, and drove towards Jackson. After defeating a Confederate force near Jackson, Grant turned back to Vicksburg. On May 16th, he defeated a force under General Pemberton at the Champion Hill. Pemberton retreated to Vicksburg, and Grant sealed the city by the end of May. In 3 weeks, Grant's men had marched 180 miles, won 5 battles, and took 6,000 prisoners. Grant made some attacks after bottling Vicksburg, but found the Confederates well entrenched. Prepared for a long siege, his army constructed 15 miles of trenches and enclosed Pemberton's force of 29,000 men inside the perimeter. Attempts to rescue Pemberton failed from both the east and the west, and conditions for both military personnel and civilians deteriorated rapidly. Many residents moved into tunnels dug from the hillsides to escape the constant bombardments. Pemberton surrendered on July 4th, and President Abraham Lincoln wrote that the Mississippi River, quote, again goes unvexed to the sea. The town of Vicksburg would not celebrate the 4th of July for 81 more years.
And on July 7, 1941, the neutral U.S. moved closer to war with Germany when United States forces landed on Iceland to take over its garrisoning from the British. From there on, the U.S. Navy had the responsibility of protecting convoys in the nearby sea routes from attack by German submarines. With Iceland and its nearby sea routes under U.S. protection, the British Royal Navy was free to fight elsewhere. The occupation of Iceland came less than a month after President Franklin Roosevelt froze all German and Italian assets in the United States and expelled their diplomats in response to the German torpedoing of the American destroyer Robin Moore. Much of the North Atlantic was now in the American sphere, and the U.S. warships patrolled the area for German submarines. The United States officially entered World War II after Japan attacked Pearl Harbor in Hawaii on December 7, 1941.
And on 25 June 1950, the Korean War began. You know, near the end of World War II, the big three Allied powers, the U.S., the Soviet Union, and Great Britain, agreed to divide Korea into two separate operation zones and temporarily govern the nation. The country was split along the 38th parallel, with Soviet forces occupying the north and Americans the south. By 1949, separate Korean governments had been established, and both the U.S. and the USSR withdrew the majority of their troops from Korea. The 38th parallel was heavily fortified on both sides, but South Koreans were unprepared for the hordes of North Korean troops and Soviet-made tanks that suddenly rolled across the border on June 25th. 2 days later, President Truman announced that the U.S. would intervene in the Korean conflict to stem the spread of communism, and on June 28th, the U.N. approved the use of force against the communist North. In the opening months of the war, the U.S.-led U.N. forces rapidly advanced against the North Koreans, but in October, Chinese communist troops entered the fray, throwing the Allies into a hasty retreat. By May 1951, the battle line was back along the 38th parallel, where it remained for the rest of the war. In 1953, the armistice was signed, ending the fighting and reestablished the division of Korea that still exists today. Approximately 150,000 troops from South Korea, the U.S., and participating U.N. nations were killed in the Korean War, and as many as 1 million South Korean civilians perished. An estimated 800,000 communist soldiers were killed, and over 200,000 North Korean civilians died.
And on July 6, 1964, at Nam Dong in the northern highlands of South Vietnam, an estimated 500-man Viet Cong battalion attacked an American Special Forces outpost. During a bitter battle, Captain Roger Donlin, commander of the Special Forces A-Team, rallied his troops, treated the wounded, and directed defenses, although he himself was wounded several times. After 5 hours of fighting, the Viet Cong withdrew. The battle resulted in an estimated 40 Viet Cong killed, 2 Americans, 1 Australian military advisor, and 57 South Vietnamese defenders also lost their lives. At a White House ceremony in December 1964, President Lyndon Johnson presented Captain Donlin with the first Medal of Honor of the Vietnam War.
And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, this is different this week. An Orlando woman has good reason to be wary of wildlife after a raccoon chased her and her Yorkie into her house. Nakara Clark was walking her dog, Jojo, when a feisty raccoon attacked as they returned to their Florida residence. In a security camera footage posted to TikTok, which has been viewed by more than 10 million people, a woman and her small pup were seen running to the front door. As they approached the door to go inside, the raccoon, which had been in hot pursuit, lunged towards the dog and followed them into the home. Quote, "I was basically in like panic mode, so at that point, I tried to find whatever I could find," Clark told the news. "I got a mop, and I tried to scare it off with a mop, and then once I scared it off with a mop, it hid behind the blinds." After an hour of the raccoon being inside the Clark's house, animal services caught it. Both the homeowner and the Yorkie survived the attack. The raccoon's whereabouts are currently unknown.
Well, thanks, Colonel. When we think of animal attacks in the self-defense world, we normally think about dogs. But as this Orlando homeowner learned, any animal can attack, especially wild animals. Raccoon attacks against humans is considered rare, as it goes against their nature. A raccoon's fight or flight instinct dictates that if they have an avenue of escape, they'll usually take it. This flight instinct makes sense, since raccoons are much slower and smaller than many other woodland animals. Here are some of the reasons a raccoon might attack a human. One, you wander near to their young and they feel they need to drive you off to protect them. This is a natural instinct. Just back away from their young, and under no circumstances should you try to pick them up or pet them. Yes, they are extremely cute, but try to remember they are wild animals and may bite you if they feel threatened. Two, they feel cornered or threatened. If they have no avenue of escape, then back off and let them get away. Their first instinct is to leave, not to stay and attack you. Three, raccoons are more likely to attack if they are sick. Raccoons are known to carry rabies, and if they bite you, then you may get it too. Rabies is a very serious disease. You know, it's also a good idea not to create an environment that encourages raccoons to come close to your house or inside it. You should keep your doors closed. Also, never leave your dog or cat food outside on the porch or the deck. Raccoons love to eat pet food. If you live trap a raccoon, don't assume they'll be docile. Keep your fingers away from the holes in the cage. Also, consider carefully where you release the animal. Take them to a game area, as your neighbors 5 miles away don't want them either. This Tampa woman and her pet Yorkie Jojo were not harmed in this altercation, and Frontlines of Freedom wants to commend the woman on exactly how fast she was able to run away. Just do an internet search on raccoon attacks Tampa woman, and you can watch the video. This woman was really fast. It's educational and extremely entertaining.
I'm glad I wasn't the raccoon. Our movie of the month is Our Kind of Love. It was the movie of the month for May, but our hacked website kept a lot of you from seeing it. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd appreciate getting your comments. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, General Arnold Pinero will return to discuss how we can deal with our nation's many challenges. Then Patrick Giordani will discuss his book on leadership, and Chris Whitmore will review his book, Terror to Triumph. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase our book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call-to-action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom this 4th of July weekend. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.